today that if anyone can sing this song very well. And he sang. I like this kirtan so much. Govinda Das has it. Very good. Now, you should. What?
Ali Mohe Lage.
As you like. I kirtan like Sudarshan Krishna Das. But anyhow, you should do.
Yes, it is.
As you do.
Ali Mahe Lage Vrindavan Anika.
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 Lage Vrindavan Anika.
this katha that I told, Saunapa were very rishi or very happy. They again asked Sutta Goswami, or Parikshit asked again to Srila Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit has all the qualities that Krishna has. And as Krishna came from Golok to protect cows, Vaishnava, Jagya and other things, Parikshit also liked that. And he was very, very strong personality of king. He even checked Kali Yuga. And he was so much bhakt of Brahman. But why he did some mistake, that the son of that Samik Rishi cost him? That after 7 days, a takshak, poisonous snake, will come and bite him. Why? Then he told, I think that this was the
desire.
This was the desire of Krishna himself. Otherwise it was asambhav. Asambhav?
Impossible.
Impossible. How he can do? But anyhow, Krishna did. One day he was going to hunting. He never hunted any suited. But the kings of India like doing kshatriya. And he was whole day, no water, nothing to eat, pursuing here and there, he became thirsty and hungry. So in the evening he went to the ashram of Samik Muni and he asked water and some food. But Rishi was in Samadhi, not hearing, no knowing that who has come or no. And then he became very angry, in thirst and it may be, and so angry. And he took a dead serpent, snake, and gave him in God. It is for you. That I came here, the king, I asked water and something, food, and you could not give me. He gave and returned back to his kingdom. But now he began to repent. What I have done wrong? I should not have done this. If really he was in Samadhi. No sense, in Samadhi, and was thinking of
Krishna.
Only Krishna. Oh, I think today myself, my dynasty and everything will be destroyed. I've done wrong. And in the meantime, the disciples of Samik Rishi came. One.
Sringi.
No. Other. His son Sringi, he caused, but he sent another.
Disciples.
And he rebuked his son, you have done wrong. Without king, everything will be failure in this world. And he was very high class of religious, saintly minded king. You had done wrong for a small
offense.
And you have give him so high, big
punishment.
I don't like. But he thought that it is the desire of Krishna. Call, I cannot do anything. And then he sent his one disciple. And he went and told king, Samika Rishi has told me to tell you that after 7 days, just finishing, this poisonous snake will anyhow bite you and you will be finished. At once, he gave his crown royal dresses and everything, and he gave kingdom to his son Janmejaya. And he went on the Ganges side and he sat facing north, and he left his taking food and water and everything, and he was remembering Krishna. Oh, very good, I'm not destroyed. I was so much involved in Grihasthi as we are. Now involved. Now Krishna has given a chance. And in the meantime he saw that Narada, Vyas, Parashar, Gautam, Yajnavalkya,
Hari,
Kapi Havi Antariksha, and from South Agastya, all realized soul from whole India, from whole world. At once, in a moment, they came. How they came? Oh, they knew how they came.
No telephone.
No telephone, nothing. And they knew.
No computer.
And all came. And then he began to tell Parikshit Maharaj. Who tells that?
Snake.
That a course has come to me. Jesam darsana suddhanta vai griha tesam sparsan punah
madasaucha grahana adibhi.
These munis, more than Krishna, they have come all together here. I am taking their darshan, I am speaking with them, and they can do, if they wish, my course will go. But even they have come. So it is not a course, but it is a benediction for me. And then he asked, in the meantime, Sukadeva Goswami came and he asked two questions. First, what is the duty of a person who is going to die just now? And what is duty of a person who will die? And then he began Srimad Bhagavatam. Gaur Premanande. Thus Srimad Bhagavatam began. Now, there are so many teachings of Kapil Devahuti. And so many things. How Vidur came after battle, Mahabharata battle. And he met with Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and told, why you are here? Bhim is giving you like dogs something to eat. What you want? Your 100 sons and so many all are killed now. What you want to see more? Then he told, what can I do? I am
blind.
Blind. Oh, at once come with me. And in the midnight, he took they thrashed with him and Gandhari.
And Kunti Devi also.
No, Kunti Devi. Abhi jantam kintu er madhye dekhlam. Not Kunti. And he took them in the way to Haridwar, and more he went, more
up.
Rishikesh. More. Dense forest. And there he told Dhritarashtra, take your mind from your body. And mind?
Take soul from mind.
Oh, to soul. And soul, so yours should be go to?
Krishna.
Forget everything. And in the meantime, after 7 days, fire came.
Forest fire.
Huh? Forest fire came. And he was burned to ashes, both. And they were
Liberated.
Because they have given their soul and mind to Krishna. There are so many more teachings, Kapil Devahuti. So I want to tell some sweet pastimes of Krishna also. So I am coming gradually. You should know.
What kind of liberation? Gandhari and Vrishastha?
No.
What type of mukti? Which
type? Like Sarupya, Vaikunthi any gati, not Braja.
Salokya.
Even Arjun, Pandavas, and Draupadi are doing austerities in Radhakund. Whether they have
attained
Braj Bhakti or Braj Bhas or not, it is in doubt. So what to tell them? Very high, you are very lucky that a desire has come. Something very strange. Do you want to go to heaven? Anyone? Do you want to have liberation, mukti? Anyone?
Hey, Samadhan.
And after that, do you want to be the associates of Ramchandra?
No.
Oh, one. And do you want to be the king of Krishna in Dwarka?
Queen.
No. And do you want to be in Vrindavan like friends?
No.
No. Like Mother Yashoda and
no.
Nanda Baba? Only like gopis. The measurement of Radhika. No? So you are very fortunate to hear all these things and trying to fix your aim and object of your sadhana bhajan. This is a very good success in your life. You should think all very, very fortunate you. But one thing I request you. If you want to attend this, don't criticize anyone Vaishnav. Never in any way try to cut that tongue. Your tongue, yours should try to cut. And punish that tongue. If mine wants, but never. If you are saved by this, oh. Sadhu Sangha Nam Kirtan Bhagavat Sraman Mathura Vasi Murti Sadhaya Sivan Sakal Sadhana Sreshti Ei Panchang Krishna Prem Janmaye Ei Panchara. Very surely you will have. You will have. Now, you should try to follow my instructions. Not my instruction, my Guru Parampara instruction. And instruction of Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, Narad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Rupa and Raghunath. So try to always remember my words. Don't have any doubt in Guru, Vaishnava, Bhagavat. And thus your life should be successful. Now, you know the bhakti of Dhruva. Dhruva. You can speak something. In short.
Microphone, please.
Ormagyanatimirandasya jnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmiditam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. In this great literature, the Granth Raj, the king of all shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many teachings, many upakhyans, many histories of great devotees, how they have performed their sadhan bhajan, and the various attainments that they have gotten as a result. So, in gradual progressive way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving these various histories of the universe. One of them is the history of Dhruva Maharaj. So, this is in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, describing that Dhruva Maharaj, he was the son of King Uttanapad, and he was in the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu. So, at the very beginning of the universe, these great personalities, like Prajapatis, they were the sons of Brahmaji, and they populated the whole universe. So Dhruva Maharaj took birth from King Uttanapad, and King Uttanapad had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. And Suniti was the mother of Dhruva Maharaj. But actually King Uttanapad, he had a more favor toward his wife Suruchi. So one day, when Dhruva Maharaj came to the court of King Uttanapad, he came there and he wanted to sit on the lap of his father. But actually Suruchi was standing nearby, the stepmother, and she rebuked little boy Dhruva, who at that time was only 5 years old, and she told him, "You cannot sit on the lap of your father, because you have not come from my womb. Only if you come from my womb, then you can sit on the lap of your father." When Dhruva, as a young boy, heard this, he became very upset within his heart. Dhruva was actually from the Kshatriya dynasty. And when Kshatriyas are insulted, it is very difficult. Like if someone steps onto a snake, suddenly the snake will rear its head. So in the same way, Dhruva, he became very insulted by this. And then he ran, crying tears, to his mother, Suniti. And he told his mother why this has happened. And his mother told that it is true, your father is more favored toward Suruchi. But actually you should know that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can fulfill all of your desires. Dhruva Maharaj, at that time, he became very determined. He wanted to attain a kingdom even greater than his father and his grandfather. He wanted to rule the entire universe. So this desire rose up within his heart. And his mother gave him some instruction that if you want to fulfill your desire, because she was a very religious lady, she was very dharmic, and she was also a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So she told that if you want to fulfill your desire, then you will have to satisfy the Supreme Lord. And Dhruva Maharaj, he asked, "Where can I locate him? Where can I find him?" She told that many rishis, many saints, they go to the forest and they absorb themselves very deeply in meditations and yoga, and there they gain darshan of the Supreme Lord. So at that moment, Dhruva Maharaj, with very great determination, he immediately left the palace and he began to go into the forest. Along the way, as he came towards the forest, Sri Narad Muni, the great sage, the great spiritual master, as Srila Gurudev told us, of so many great devotees in the universe, he suddenly appeared there in front of Dhruva Maharaj. And he asked him, "Where are you going?" "Oh," he told, "I'm going to the forest. I want to see the Supreme Lord himself, Bhagavan." So Narada Muni, at that time, he took compassion on Dhruva, and he gave him instruction. And he also imparted a particular mantra to him. So at that time, Dhruva Maharaj very obediently accepted the order of Narada Muni, who told him that he must chant this mantra with great faith and great determination. And now Dhruva Maharaj went into the forest. So he located himself in a very secluded place, nearby to a very beautiful stream, very purified and sanctified and quiet place. And now Dhruva began to engage in very intensive austerities as he was chanting this mantra. And he began to abstain from eating. Even he was only eating leaves from the trees at one point. Then gradually he reduced to only drinking water, and then reduced that to only drinking water a few drops after a few days. Finally, he stopped even drinking water. Then Dhruva Maharaj began to only take air, breathing. And gradually, by the process of breath control, pranayam, he even withdrew his breathing processes. And at that point, when Dhruva Maharaj, after 6 months of doing these intense austerities and completely absorbed in chanting his mantra, the whole universe was feeling even choked by his austerity. So suddenly at that time, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, he appeared there in front of Dhruva Maharaj. And when he appeared in front of Dhruva, suddenly Dhruva Maharaj's meditation broke, and he fell in doing pranams, full obeisances, before the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And at that time he rose up and all of his body was trembling, and he felt all ecstatic symptoms to see the Supreme Lord before himself. And now he tried to speak something, but he could not, because he was just a little boy and he was so overwhelmed. But Lord Vishnu took his conch shell, his shankha, and he touched the head of Dhruva. And now Dhruva began to offer very beautiful prayers, very eloquent, poetical mantras and prayers to the Supreme Lord. And at that time, Lord Vishnu, he told to Dhruva Maharaj, now you should ask me for any benediction. I will grant your heart's desire. So Dhruva Maharaj, although he had come into the forest with this intense desire to gain a material kingdom, great vast wealth and power, but when he saw Lord Vishnu, his heart melted, and actually he lamented very deeply within his heart that I was motivated by such a material desire, and I worshipped you for this useless material desire. Now that I have seen your lotus feet, now that I have seen your beautiful form, I realize that I don't want anything. I only want to serve your lotus feet. I also realize that my attempt to gain all of these material things was just like searching for little broken pieces of glass. But now I realize that while I was searching for these little pieces of glass, I have found a very valuable jewel. I have found your divine lotus feet. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj told Lord Vishnu, Swamin kritartosmi varam na jati. I am fully satisfied. I don't want any kind of benediction. But then Lord Vishnu, he insisted and he told Dhruva, no, you have come to me with this desire. I must fulfill your desire. And Dhruva Maharaj had to accept a kingdom greater than his grandfather. For 36,000 years, he had to become a king and ruler within this universe. But then Lord Vishnu gave him the benediction that after that time period, then he would be able to attain his eternal position. And within this very universe, he would be able to rule an entire Vaikuntha planet, a spiritual planet, Dhruva Loka, which is the pole star within the universe. And there Dhruva Maharaj would reside, and Lord Vishnu would be there residing on the same planet. So he would attain this Salokya liberation, to live on the same planet as the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj, by his great austerities, and by following the order of his Gurudev, Narada Muni, and following his instruction to chant the mantra which he gave to him, in this way, Lord Vishnu came and he revealed himself to Dhruva. But the point that is to be learned from this upakyam, from this instruction, is that one should never approach the Lord with any kind of material desire whatsoever. It should be anya vilashita shunyam, devoid of any other desires. and only favorable, anukulyena krishnanushilanam, only favorable to the Supreme Lord for his satisfaction. But if one approaches, then you will run this risk, as Dhruva Maharaj had done. Your eternal association with the Lord and attainment of his eternal abode, it will be delayed. And you will have to accept so many temporary material benedictions within this world. So Dhruva Maharaj is listed as a bhakta within the category of the devotees of the Lord. But he had some material desire, sakam bhakta. So he worshipped the Lord with these desires. And in this way, gradually, his desires became removed by the power of the Supreme Lord and the benedictions of his Gurudev.
So by this katha, you should know that Dhruva, by mantra given by his guru, and he received that position. Why you cannot? More, better, superior mantra are with you. Brahma Gayatri, and then Guru Mantra, Guru Gayatri, Gaur Mantra, Gaur Gayatri, or Gopal Mantra, essence of all the mantra, and more. Kama Gayatri. And moreover, you have Harinam. So why you cannot attend? I think, he took six months. And very easily chanting and remembering, and if you are doing very strictly your mantra with great honor, you must be successful. But only thing, that you should not want any worldly thing. Never and never. Only that, like Chatak, want the water of only Swati Nakshatra. So you want only Radha Darshan. Not if Krishna coming and giving you, take this benediction, that benediction, that benediction, refuse. We will die, we will not take anything except that. After that, Puranjan Upakhyan, very good Upakhyan. Narada told to one Maharaj, Prachin Vairi, for Vairagya, and then Bharat Charitra. How Bharat was? He left his kingdom in his young age, like a stool and urine, and he came to the forest to meditate and serve Krishna. He reached up to Bhav. But what became? He was attached to any deer,
baby deer.
And he lost his three lives. But you. In brief, very brief.
So, all of you may know that present-day India is called Bharat Varsh because it's named after the great king, Bharat. So Bharat Maharaj, at the half point of his lifetime, he gave an ideal example and he renounced everything. His renunciation was very natural. And he went to the Himalayas and was performing bhajan there. His bhajan had attained such a high
Not
stage.
Not Himalayam.
Above the Himalaya. In Gandaki River.
In Gandaki, where Salagram.
So what a level of bhajan he had attained is described that his heart was like a lake of bhakti ras, and inside that he would drown. As he would remember Krishna, tears would come from his eyes, his voice would choke, all the hairs on his body would stand on end. So his bhajan had reached such a high level. So one day, very quickly, one female deer, doe, who was heavily pregnant, she was running from the chase of a tiger. And as she left her body on the side of the river, the baby deer was born and was floating down the river. And with her eyes, she was looking, "Oh, Bharat Maharaj, what type of sadhu are you? You cannot even have mercy on my son." So Bharat Maharaj, he picked the baby deer out of the water and began to protect it. So he began picking pieces of grass and feeding to the deer. He began nourishing, protecting. Nighttime he would sleep with it. In fact, he became so much absorbed in contemplation and with affection to the deer, his meditation in Southern Bhajan was completely destroyed. When he'd sit in meditation, a deer would come and poke him with his soft horns. So Bhadan Raj, his mind was completely attached to the deer. So one day, the baby deer, she saw the big deer running in the forest. He left Bhadan Raj and ran to the forest. Bhadan Raj became completely mad in lamentation. So even Bhadan Raj was looking at the moon. The moon is called Sasadara. Oh, moon is very fortunate. Look, my son is there. Oh, earth, what austerities you have performed. The footprints of my son are on you. Thinking like this, Bharat became mad. Bharat Maharaj forgot about death. The death did not forget about Bharat Maharaj. Yesham sam. Krishna says, Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chatatanti kalevalam yevaisasti kuntir samatad bhavavavita. Whatever you think of the time of death, that is your next destination. So Bharat Maharaj, at the time of death, he was completely infatuated with a deer, and he remembered a deer. As a result, he took birth as a deer. Guru Maharaj said, Bharat Maharaj made one mistake. He took three more births. But how many mistakes we are making every day, every month? So Bharat Maharaj, as a result of his bhajan, he was not an ordinary deer. He could remember the mistakes he made, and he lamented. He would never associate with other deer, and at a young age, he ran away from his mother and lived in near the ashram of the sadhus and was always hearing Harikata, and he waited when this body would be finished. So next birth, he took birth in a Brahmin family. So Bharat Maharaj was very careful not to make the same mistake again. Therefore, his father was a very high-class Brahmin. His father tried very hard to educate him in all the types of smarta karma. But Bharat Maharaj said, no, this life is only bhajan. His father tried very hard to educate him, but Bharat Maharaj ignored all that and practiced Hari Bhajan. So his father left the body in great disappointment. His nine brothers mistreated Bharat Maharaj very greatly. They never used to feed him anything. They never used to give him any cloth. They used to give Bharat Maharaj the burnt vegetables from the bottom of the pot, the old rice. But Bharat Maharaj ate everything, considering it nectar. So one day, they used to put Bharat Maharaj in charge of guarding the fields. So Bharat Maharaj was very happy they're doing bhajan. So Jad means inert, because he would pretend to be mad. Isn't it? Like useless, Jad Bharat. One day the king of Sindhudesh, Rahugana, he was going from there, going towards where the Ganga enters into the Bay of Bengal. He went to see Kapil Rishi. So that time...
Bengal?
So, Bharat Maharaj, the king Rahuganath was being carried on his palanquin, and one of the carriers, he was injured, so they needed a spare tire. All they saw, Bharat Maharaj was very powerful, very strong, and by force, even though Bharat Maharaj was so exalted, he was not fit for that work, by force they made him carry the palanquin. But Jad Bharat Maharaj, he never gave up his character. All are related to Krishna. So when he would walk on the ground, he would see the ants and he would move here and there to side to side. Inside, Rahuganath cracked his head on the top of the palanquin. What's going on now? Oh, Bharat, oh, foolish fellow, are your carriers not cooperating with you? Maybe they are not walking correctly, but you are okay. And he chastised him very strongly. But Bharat Maharaj was silent. He just tolerated it. Again, they were walking, and again, Bharat Maharaj, Jad Bharat, was moving to avoid the ants. Rahuganath became very angry. Oh, fool, are you mad? Are you dead despite the life in your body? Don't you know who I am?
I will punish you.
I am king. I will punish you like Ramaraj punishes the sinful. So Bharat Maharaj was completely undisturbed and smiling. He said, O king, what you have said in sarcasm is definitely true.
More louder.
O king, what you have said in sarcasm is definitely true, isn't it? You have said, oh, you are experiencing great difficulty carrying this palanquin, but this is your rubbish. I am not experiencing any difficulty because I am not carrying the palanquin. This body is carrying the palanquin. Therefore, I have nothing to do with this body, nor this palanquin, nor the present situation I am in. You know nothing about the difference between the soul and the body. O King, the body is not fat, nor thin, nor stout, nor black, nor white, nor anything else that you have said.
No king,
said.
No servant, nothing.
Yes. You said, therefore happiness, distress, mental fatigue, material desires, death, birth, these are all come from the material mind. But I have nothing to do with any of this. O King, you have said, I am king and you are servant. Is this true? But I say this is a temporary situation. And soon, maybe I will be king and you will be servant. And you have said that I am dead despite living. But King, I may let you know this is a fact for every living being in this world. Everybody's body is dead and it's only alive because of the presence of the Jivatma. O King, you have said that I am mad despite living. But you should know that I am not mad. I am perfected, liberated soul, servant of the Supreme Lord. And if you think I am mad and punishing me, what's the use of your punishment? Like beating a dead horse is no benefit. O King, you have given me so nice instructions. What should I do? Should I carry your palanquin again? So Bharat, the King Rahughunath, became very afraid. He leapt down from his palanquin and fell at weeping at the feet of Bharat Maharaj. Jad Bharat. He said, I am not afraid of anything. I can even fight with the Lord Shiva. I mean, even fight with death. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of one thing. That is committing offense to the lotus feet of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Please forgive me. So very quickly, beautiful instructions Bharat Maharaj gave to King Rahughunath.
He told that, who are you? Who are you? Then
Bharat Maharaj, Rahughunath asked, who are you? You are moving in a disguised form as if to examine others. I cannot understand who you are. Are you Kapiladev? Are you Vashishta? Are you, and many names you get, Atul Rishi, are you this, are you that? So Bharat Maharaj said, well, maybe you know me, my name is Bharat.
My name was Bharat.
Before.
Your
forefathers. Your forefathers.
Well, the emperor of whole universe. And then he was, oh, same Bharat you are. And then Shraddha came.
Sometimes Gurudev and the Vaishnavas will explain their past lifetime, their life history to us, then we will get so much inspiration and faith in them. Otherwise we think, ordinary person, this is not good for us. So, Bharat Rahughunath Maharaj said, I cannot understand what you say. You say there's no relationship between the body and the soul, but I think this is not true. Like if you have a pot of khichdi, pot of rice, the fire heats the pot boils the water, and the water boils the rice. So I think in the same way there is a relationship between the body and the mind, and the body and the soul. The body suffers, the mind experiences pain and pleasure, and then the Atma thinks, I am happy, I am suffering. So then Bharat Maharaj, he said, O King, you are speaking very foolishly. You have no experience whatsoever. Don't you know this? The only cause of happiness and distress, the only cause which causes the living entity to move through the 8,400,000 different species of life, there is only one cause, that is the mind. The mind is like an uncontrolled elephant. Therefore, he drags the living entity through the different species of life. Therefore, King, you should try to control this stupid mind. This mind is very wicked, very difficult to control. Even a yogi, like a hunter who captures a deer and ties him very tightly, in the same way, even a yogi who has controlled the mind, he will never trust the mind. Therefore, like a lamp, when the wick is too long or too short, it gives insufficient light or much smoke is produced. But when the lamp is perfectly trimmed, that same lamp is the cause of illumination. In the same way, Bharat Maharaj, when this mind is attached to the three modes of nature, the mind is the cause of repeated birth and death. And the same mind, when attached to the feet of Hari Guru Vaishnava, that same mind is the cause of liberation. So Sir Rahughunath Maharaj said, Gurudev, everything you're saying is very nice. I cannot understand, I cannot realize it. So at that time, Rahughunath Maharaj said, of course, there's only one way you can realize that.
Why not?
Rahughunath tapasya na jati na chakyan nirvona kriharvana chandisya na vijalakya surya bina maha para rajo vishakam. Famous verse. O King, the Atma cannot be realized by so much Igya means deity worship. Tapasya, or by tapasya, sorry, or by very much austerities. Which type of austerities? Jalanta Suryet. Jalanta means some yogis in the winter time they submerse themselves up to the neck in the freezing cold waters and do meditation. Or they sit themselves amongst the Panch Agni, four fires on either side, and in the midday sun they meditate. Oh, Ranganath, the Atma cannot be realized by austerities, by worship, by mundane reading of the Vedas, nor by your own efforts. Then how the Atma can be realized? Bina mahakpada rajabhishekam. There is only one way you can realize, King. Fall at the feet of a pure Vaishnava and take his foot dust and smear it on the top from head to toe. Then you can understand the Atma. Otherwise, you can never understand.
Thank you. There are two teachings, especially, so many teachings, but two from Bhartopakhyan. Don't be attached to anything. You can do your duties only, but don't be attached to anything in this world, even to your wife, your husband, children, or animals like dogs and cats and everything. Otherwise, you have to come in the form of cat and dogs even. So don't be attached. And one thing more, at the time of death, Bhart was remembering only dear, where he went. And so he came in the form of deer. So if at the time of death, you are meditating Radha and Krishna and his
associates.
Why you cannot be that, like that? You must be. Very easily you can be. So from beginning, now you should try to always remember Krishna and his associates. Very easily you can be the associates of Krishna. Then Maharaj Parikshit has something here, feeling that I have done some mistake, I have done some aparad on Rishi, Shamik Rishi. So knowing this, Sukadeva Goswami is telling, don't be hopeless or don't think like so. Even a Durachari, characterless, drunkard, and useless person like Ajami, he only called his son, he has kept his son name Narayan. And what became? He went to Vaikuntha. So don't only listen Hari Katha. And by this, you will be liberated and you will have Golok Vrindavan. So, in brief, oh Prabhu, what
Radha
name?
Radhakant Prabhu.
Oh, Radhakant Prabhu. Can you tell Ajamil? Not?
Yes.
Very easy.
Jnanatanandasya Ginanjana Svakaya Chakshurangiritan Gena
Ki?
Erpore Samapta Kore Din.
No. In 6th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Ajamil is there. Ajamil was born and raised in a very strict Brahminical family, and he was wedded according to Vedic injunction. He was a good Brahmin. He followed rules and regulations and performed a religious life. At some point in his life, due to misfortune, he looked upon a scene of sudras enjoying sexual enjoyment, and welling up in his heart came a desire, a lusty desire for himself to enjoy outside of marriage. So he started to develop a relationship with a prostitute and enjoyed with her, eventually leaving his wife, his children, his dharma, his brahminical duties and became very, very degraded, always with her, always enjoying and having also children with her. So, towards the end of his life, he had one son named Narayan. Because he was raised in Veda culture as a Brahmin, he was performing different religious activities. He named his children according to the names of Vishnu and Narayan. And being very attached to his son, at the time of death, as we're hearing, what we do during our life, we automatically begin to remember. Just like a playback in a movie, you go back and remember everything that happened during your life, especially those things which are very important to you, that you're attached to, that you have love and affection for, those persons in your life. So, as devotees, if we're always developing love and affection and attraction for pure Vaishnavas and Krishna, then automatically, without endeavor, we will think of those things at the time of death. But in this case, Ajamil, having left his sadhan and bhajan and became very degraded, automatically at the time of death, what was he thinking of? He was only thinking of his family and his son. So he called out to his one son, Narayan.
He saw three yamdut, very bikaral roop, and he fared. And then he called at once, automatically came, Narayan, Narayan, his son.
At the time of death, for those who deserve punishment according to the law of karma, the Yamadutas, the messengers of Yamaraj will come. They're very fearful. So he was very fearful and he called out, Narayan, Narayan, my son, save me. So the instruction here is that even though he was not calling Narayan Vishnu, he was calling Narayan his son, but because he was calling without envy or aparad, it was called Namabhas, or the semblance of the holy name. And immediately all of his karmas, all of his sinful activities, his pop in his life were destroyed from that one calling of Narayan. And at that time, also the Vishnu Dutas came. Because the Yamadutas were trying to take him, but the Vishnu Dutas came and prohibited them. Said, you cannot do this. So a big argument ensued between the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Vishnu who come and take the fortunate soul at the time of death to Vaikuntha Loka, and Yamaraj, Yamadutas, who take the fallen, sinful person down to the hellish planets and punish them according to their karma. And during that conversation, they describe the various qualities of the holy name and how the Yamadutas could not take Ajamil because his sins had been freed. So he was given another opportunity to live. He didn't go back to Vaikuntha at that moment, but he was freed from death. At least Yamaraj and the Yamadutas could not take him. So at that time he repented, oh, I have lived such a sinful life. I must change my ways. Now I have heard the Vishnu Dutas. I have Sadhu Sangha. I'm hearing this Gita, this Hari Gita. I have become purified and I understand what is my duty now. I'll rectify myself. And with a repentant attitude, he went to Haridwar. And there he took Sadhu Sangha, performed bhajan, and at the end of his life, he perfected himself and went back home, back to God.
Very good. Thank you. So, if anyone will chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, anyhow, if none of us, death will not come. And again, you can have chance like Ajamil. And if you are chanting pure Shuddha name, at once to Goluk Vrinda, Golok, and with love and affection in the guidance of Rupa Goswami, then not to even Golok or direct to Vrindavan. So you should chant and remember Krishna. After that he told how Jai Vijay was very high class of associate of Narayan. Narayan has fulfilled all his desire, but he wanted to fight and to test
Biras.
So at once, this came that anyhow, if you will be demon, even we will fulfill the desire of my
Prabhu.
At once Krishna inspired Chatuhasan, and they came and they checked him not to come to the Narayan, and they caused. And then when Krishna took his maya, he began to learn why we have done so. But for three janma.
Lifetime.
Oh, they first became Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, then Raman, Kumbhakaran, and in third, Dantabhakra and
Shishupal.
And by Krishna, oh, they were totally, and they went to
Vaikuntha
planet. Here, in this story, he told Prahlad Maharaj Charitra. In brief, you should tell his Charitra and his last teachings.
Srila Gurudeva ordered me to speak in brief about the life history and the teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. So perhaps you know that on the passing away of Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, he pacified the weeping family members and he told them, oh, we are not this physical body, and that there's no need to weep for those who have passed away, because this weeping will not bring them back. And in this way he pacified them. But then he himself, he went away and made a vow, I will kill him, that person who has killed my brother, and I will take over the whole universe. So he was a hypocrite. He said one thing by his mouth, and in his own life he did the exact opposite. So when Hiranyakashipu, he left his home and went to the valley of Mandara Mountain there to perform austerities for many years, standing on the tips of his toes, his arms in the air. At that time, he did austerities for thousands of years, and he was thinking, by this I will become so powerful. But you know that Krishna, he is always two steps ahead at least of everyone else. So even though Hiranyakashipu had made a plan how to become so powerful, even before he went to the forest, Krishna had already arranged that in the womb of his wife, Prahlad Maharaj had appeared, who would be the very cause of his downfall before he started his uprise. So Krishna is very intelligent. So then, while he was away doing austerities, Indra and the Devatas, they came and they kidnapped the wife of Hiranyakashipu, because they thought, now she is pregnant, another demon will come in her womb, so kill him before he's born. But now the Rishi came there, and he told them, oh, this is not a demon in the womb of Kayadu, he is a great devotee. So they did parikrama of that great devotee and pranam, and they left to the heavenly planets. Then Nandarishi, he took the wife of Hiranyakashipu, Kayadu, to his ashram, that is at Narad Kund. And there he told Harikatha to her for 60,000 years. But after that she forgot everything. But the child who was in the womb, hearing Harikatha for 60,000 years from Narad, how qualified he will be after hearing 60,000 years. So when he was born, he was a great devotee. So in the meantime, Hiranyakashipu, he did his austerities, and Lord Brahma appeared to him and said, I give you a benediction. What do you want? He said, I want to be immortal. And Brahmaji said that, I myself am not immortal. Ask for something else. Then you give me the benediction that I'll not be killed in the day or the night, in the, any month, or if I should not be killed on the land or in the air or in the sky or by any weapon or by any human being or animal or any creature created by you, which is everyone in the whole universe. And in this way, he He asked for all of these benedictions, and he thought that when they all add up together, it's the same as being immortal. So then Brahmaji, he gave that benediction and went away, and then Hiranyakashipu began his reign of terror. At once he attacked the heavenly planets, he kicked Indra out from his throne, all the demigods ran away and were hiding here and there in the universe, and for sitting on the throne of Indra, he began to control the whole universe. Even though he was drunk, intoxicated, his eyes were rolling, but still, he reversed all the karmas. If you do pious activities, then a bad reaction will come. And he made all the plants and fruits come from the ground without even doing any work. In this way, he made a complete chaos throughout the whole universe. He was so powerful. So his wife had given birth to a child, only 5 years old, Prahlad, and he was going to school. And Hiranyakashipu, he had so much affection, attachment to his child. And the mother of Prahlad dressed him, bathed him, decorated him, and brought him before his father. So Hiranyakashipu called, "Oh, my son, please come," and took his son in his lap. And he was smelling his head, and tears of parental affection came from in his eyes. He had so much attachment. So I had to be attached to your own family members. It's not necessarily the quality of a great devotee. Even a great demon, such as Hiranyakashipu, has this quality also. So he said, "Oh, my dear son, can you tell me what is the best thing that you have learned at school?" So then, Prahlad Maharaj, he said, "Tat sadhu manye asuravaya dehinam sada samudvigna diyam asatpreha itvapapatam riyamandakupam vano gatam yad harimasaita." Oh, best among the demons, asuravaya. Here in Kashipu, his heart swelled with pride. Oh, best among the demons. The best knowledge I know is this. That sadasam udvikna asat diham graha, diham asat graha. Those who have accepted the physical body and mind to be the self are always embarrassed by one difficult situation, embarrassing situation after another. Udvikna. Many, many disturbances. Therefore, what should one do? Hitvatmapatam riyamandakupam. One should give up the bodily conception of life, which is epitomized by attachment to wife, children, family, and society. Why? Because it's riyamandakupam. It's like a dark well. Once a traveler was wandering in the forest, and there was a well, disused, and grass had grown over it. And he came there, and he fell through the grass and went down the well. As he was falling, he caught two branches of a tree that were hanging in the well. And now he saw that at the bottom of the well, some snakes, they raised their hoods and they're ready to bite him and kill him. He looked at the top and a tiger was there, licking his lips and waiting to eat him also. And he was hanging from two branches. But from the sides of the well, two rats came out, one black and one white. And they came and they began to chew on the branches that he was hanging from. So death and danger was all around him. And at that time, in the tree above, there was a beehive. And from shaking the tree, some honey began to drip very close to where he was hanging. So he noticed that honey was drinking, so he extended his tongue and one drop landed on the tip of his tongue. How nice. Like this. So, this is a story. It seems to be funny, but actually it's not funny. It's very, very serious. What does it mean? It means that those who are in the bodily conception of life, attached to their family members, they have fallen into a dark well of material attachment. Just as this man had fallen in a dark well. Everywhere there is danger. At the bottom, so many snakes. Many problems come in this life, one after another, we cannot check them. And death is waiting for us. He's hanging from two branches. These branches represent his pious and impious activities. His punya karma and papa karma. Our life is composed of these things. But two rats, one black and white. Black rat means night and the white rat is day. Each day and each night that passes is eating away at our reactions to our activities, punya karma and papa karma. And when they have been exhausted, our prarabdha karma connected with this body, what will happen? Then we must die. But in the middle of all this danger and calamity, there's a drop of honey. A drop of honey comes. He tasted with his tongue that drop of honey. What is that? That is the material affection of one's relatives in this world. When our children say, oh daddy, mommy, mommy, then even though the whole day was completely hellish from beginning to end, or when a child will say, oh daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, then we forget everything, think this world is wonderful. If your beloved will tell you, I love you, you are so wonderful, then you will think, yes, I am great. This person is intelligent, they are the only one in the world who recognize my qualities. Even if they abuse you for the other 23 hours and 55 minutes of the day, oh, one sweet word, forget everything. So this is the honey. So Prahlad Maharaj said, all in this world are in this predicament, so what should be done? Hitvatma patangriyamandakupam. This dark well is what? The Atmapat. It blocks the progress of the soul. The soul cannot grow, he cannot evolve, he cannot go towards God. Therefore, one should leave this situation at once. And vanam gato yad harimashrita. One should go to Ban, Vrindavan. One should go to the forest. To go to the forest means what? To go to Sadhu Sangha, have the association of pure Vaishnavas. And in their association, under their guidance, yad harimashrita, take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari. When Hiranyakashipu heard this, he was surprised. He looked at the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj. He said, so the good intelligence of children is spoiled by bad association. It seems that some of those Vaishnavas, they may have been coming into the palace in disguise. And by their association, his intelligence had become polluted. So take him away and educate him in the real values of life. That means politics, this diplomacy, and how to collect money and be powerful and collect reputation. So Sandra and Amaka, they gave their word, but we'll take care of him, don't worry. And they took Prahlad away and they began to educate him in materialistic values. After some time, again, the mother of Hiranyakashipu, the mother of Prahlad, brought her son to Hiranyakashipu, and again he took his son in his lap and affectionately embraced him and said, oh, can you tell me, what is the best thing that you have learned? This time Prahlad Maharaj, he said, Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam iti punsapita Vishnu bhaktischanda lakshana kreti bhagavatya datam anyeditam uttamam. So without any fear and very politely he said to his father, I think that a person who has surrendered completely where? Itipum Savita Vishnu, unto Vishnu, but there are two Vishnus. One is a Vishai Bhagavan, and other Ashai Bhagavan. First take shelter of Ashai Bhagavan, that means Shiguru. Afterwards one can realize Vishai Bhagavan, Shri Krishna. One who has surrendered himself unconditionally at the lotus feet of Guru. And after that, he engages in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. He is the most learned person. It is understood that he has understood that all the essence of life. So here Prahlad Maharaj said, first surrender, then hear, chant, remember. If one is hearing, chanting and remembering, but is independent and whimsical and not surrendered to the lotus feet of Sadhguru, then his hearing, chanting, remembering, it can never be called bhakti. It is only a mass, only drama, only for show. So when Hiranyakashipu heard this, oh, then he pushed his child from his lap. He said, if any part of the body becomes diseased, then what should you do? I have to cut it off. So though he's like part of my body, he should be cut down. Take him away and kill him. So then the gods came and took Prahlad away, and they tried to kill him. They tried to give him poison. They put him among deadly snakes. They tried to throw him under the feet of stampeding elephants. They threw him from the tops of mountains in many ways. But everything failed. Even Hiranyakashipu's sister, Holika, tried to catch him in a fire, but she herself was killed, and Prahlad Maharaj, he was safe and sound, only chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. chanting the name of Krishna, he was untouched. Then Hiranyakashipu became very worried. He was so afraid. He thought, what is this? If I can't kill him, then perhaps he will kill me. And when he was worried, Sanda and Amarka, the two teachers of Prahlad, the sons of Shukracharya, they told him, don't be worried, our father is away now, but just soon he will come back, and he is very learned, he will think of a solution. So then, again, Prahlad went to school. So when the school was going on, his behavior was good, so the teachers made him the class monitor. And when they went for their break, they told him, look after the other students. Then, the teachers went away, and when the cats away, mice will play. So all the children began to play around. But Prahlad Maharaj called them, oh, my dear friends, please, listen to me. I have something to tell you. Don't waste your time playing around. You should take up the process of devotion to God, spiritual life. The children said, oh, Prahlad, we're kids now. So we just want to play, and we'll do better later when we're old. So Prahlad Maharaj, he said, this policy is not good. Why? Kamara acharya pragyodhanam bhagavatam hitam dulabhamanava janma yadatta apya dhruvam artadam. Kamara acharya pragyo. Those who have pragya, intelligence, they will practice bhakti from the beginning, from the very beginning of their life, from childhood. Why? Because this life at most may be 100 years. And of 100 years, then, oh, 50 years will be gone, only lying in bed and dribbling. Like a dead body, doing nothing, completely wasted 50 years. And then 50 years are left. Out of this first 10 years, children, they have no developed intelligence and discrimination, only playing around. Next 10 years, education. Go to college and university and become qualified to have a very good job as a doctor, lawyer, accountant, or something. And then, after that, then you have to work. And you, at the end of your life, also 20 years, from the age of 80 to 100, then you have no energy for singing, dancing, and doing kirtan and serving the lotus feet of Guru. So these years are also lost. And in the middle, how much time? Very little time. Only a few years. And in those few years, you have to get a house, a car, and a computer, and TV, and refrigerator, and microwave, and MP3 player, iPod, and many things. And that time will be completely lost also. So, therefore, from the beginning, if you think that you'll do better at the end of your life, then what will happen? Yes, you can do better at the end of your life, and you'll take your mala, and you'll remember your house, your furniture, your car, your animals, your children, and all those things in which you are absorbed for your whole life. How you chant. So from the beginning, one should do bhakti. When his friends heard this, because Prahlad is so powerful, he has so much shraddha and realization, they were influenced. So they asked him, oh Prahlad, how can you do bhakti? So Prahlad Maharaj said, Guru Susraya Bhakta Savalabdapanena Cha Sangena Sabu Bhaktanan Ishvara Radhanena Cha. If you want to do bhakti, then it begins here. Guru Susraya Bhaktya. First, take shelter of lotus feet of Sadhguru. And Susraya, it means to hear very carefully, with honor, and think, I will follow what my Gurudev is telling. And also, with a mantra, with possessiveness for the lotus feet of Guru. Guru is my savior and my nearest and dearest friend. And in this mood, Guru Susrasya Bhaktya, Sava Labdha Panena Cha. If anything will come in your life, any money or reputation or anything, take everything and keep it at the lotus feet of your Gurudev. Don't keep anything for yourself. And more than that, Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishvara Aradhanena Cha. If you want to do the Aradhana of Ishvara, then Sangena Sadhu Bhaktanam. One should try to associate with sadhus. Those who are more advanced than oneself. They will give inspiration of how to understand the heart of your Guru Padma and serve him according to his Manovishta, innermost heart's desire. So then, all the friends of Prahlad Maharaj, they were inspired and they wanted to take up bhakti, accepting Prahlad Maharaj like a guru. Oh, what should we do? Oh, you should all chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sarikirtan went all throughout the palace and entered into the ears of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, what is that? They are singing the names of that person who murdered my brother? I'll kill them. And he was very angry. He took his sword and immediately went to that place. And he approached Balaraj with his sword. And he said, how dare you defy me? Don't you know who I am? When I raise my eyebrows, all the demigods run away in fear. I'm so powerful. How dare you defy me? Where do you get your power from? Lord Maharaj said, I get my power from the same place from which you get your power, and everyone derives their power, from Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Hiranyakashipu became even more angry, furious. He said, oh really? So where is Vishnu? Where is he? He is everywhere, inside and out of everything. Is he in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj looked and saw Lord Nrisimha was there looking at him. Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he's in the pillar. All right. So then, Hiranyakashipu was so angry, not with the sword, with his fist. He punched the pillar and cracked the pillar. And then he turned against Prahlad and he said, okay, if your Vishnu is so great, let me see him save you now when I sever your head from your body. And he took his sword about to cut off the head of Prahlad Maharaj. Then all of a sudden there was a great sound. And the pillar broke, and Hiranyakashipu looked around. Shri Nrisimha Deva Bhagavan Ki
Jai! And he saw. It is a parent's day,
kids. So then, Hiranyakashipu looked and saw enormous, huge form, a golden body, and with the body of a human being and the head of a lion, roaring with millions of arms and millions of weapons. So he thought, I have all these benedictions. I can't be killed in the day or the night or any year or anything. So I'm invincible. And he took his club and he ran at that astonishing form to kill him. But Lord Nrisimhadev began to wrestle with him, sometimes catching him and sometimes letting him go. When he caught him, all the demigods said, Jai, Jai. And when he let him go, the demigods, oh no. He had to stay homeless for some more time. They were more interested in getting the heavenly planets back. So then, when the moment came, he could not be killed in the day or the night. So Nrisimhadev was waiting for the dusk when the sun was about to set. And when dusk came, then he took Hiranyakashipu in his lap, and not with any weapon, but with his fingernails, he burst open his abdomen and ripped him apart and took the intestines of Hiranyakashipu and wore them as a garland around his neck. At that time, see, Hiranyakashipu, disappearance day, keys, and... So then, at that time, he was so ferocious, like one lion has killed an elephant, covered in blood and roaring and roaring. All the demigods were afraid. Brahma was there, Lord Shiva was there, Lakshmi Devi, Indra, everyone came, and everyone was afraid to go near him. So Brahmaji, he said to Lord Shiva, oh, please go and pacify the Lord with prayers. Lord Shiva said, you go and pacify the Lord. So then they thought, oh, let's ask Lakshmi Devi. So they turned to Lakshmi Devi. Oh, Lakshmi Devi, goddess fortune, please go and pacify the Lord with prayers. Lakshmi Devi said, I never saw my husband in a mood like this. I also not go there. Everyone was afraid to go near him. So then they approached Prahlad. Oh, Prahlad, please go there. And Prahlad, without any fear at all, skipping like a five-year-old boy, he came. And just as a lion cub can jump on the back of the lion who has killed an elephant, he came into the lap of Lord Nrisimhadev. So Lord Nrisimhadev took Prahlad in his arms, and with tears in his eyes, he said, oh, please forgive me. I came late. You have undergone so many difficulties and sufferings. Why? Only because of your devotion to me. So I want to give you a benediction. Please take a benediction from me. Prahlad Maharaj said, oh my lord, already I have taken birth in family of asura demons. So I am not very qualified. So please don't tempt me by offering a benediction. I never served you to get anything in return. I am not a businessman. I am not in business. I am not a merchant. That I served you, that you should repay me for anything. I have served you only for your happiness. So, I don't want to accept the benediction. Lord Nrisimhadev insisted. He said, then, if at all you want to give me a benediction, please give me the benediction that there will remain in the core of my heart no material desires. Lord Nishingadev, he smiled. He smiled. He thought, oh, Prahlada is very tricky. He wants to avoid having a benediction. Because he said, already you have no mature desires in your heart. So ask again for another benediction. Oh, my Lord, please give the benediction that my father, he should not suffer on account of the offenses he has committed to me. Lord Nishingadev said, what to speak of your father? Who is Kanishtha Adhikari? 7 generations are liberated. Who is Madhyam Adhikari? There, 14 generations are liberated. And those who are Uttam Adhikari like you, Mahabhagat, 21 generations are already liberated. So what to speak of your father? 21 generations are liberated. Automatically. So again, you should ask for a benediction. So then Prahlad Maharaj said, oh my Lord, please give me the benediction that I know that Naivo piyacha patitin kamayas tavesha. So chait tovi mukhachesa indriyata maya sukhaya param udvaha tovi mudhan. I have no lamentation because I always sing your glories. And I sink in ocean of nectar by doing your kirtan, but I have one lamentation. So chaita tovi mukhachesa indriyata. The people of this world, they are born without any responsibility except for serving you. But then they make a big mountain of self-made responsibilities for themselves and they waste their whole life carrying it on their shoulders, that burden. They are suffering. I feel pain for them. So I'm asking you, all their karmic reactions, you give all those karmic reactions to me and I will suffer and let them be liberated. So then Lord Nishingadev said, oh Prahlad, you have defeated me. I cannot give this benediction. I cannot allow you to suffer. But I will give the benediction that if anyone will hear your pastimes and our conversation together, or they will become liberated from all their karmas, and very soon they will attain Krishna Prem and go back home back to God.
So we can teach, learn so many things from Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he read about 108 times this upakhyan. First try to follow the principles and teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. Then go up. Without this, you can. Tolerance, how much? He never he told any harsh word to his father. Though he wanted to kill, he gave poison, everything. Tolerated everything. So you bhakt, you should tolerate. He never criticized his father. Never. So you should also be like that. And try to have all the qualification Prahlad Maharaj. And he told in the last, Guru Sushruanan.
Sushrusaya bhakta.
Bhaktya. Sarva labha karani nicha.
Sangyana sadhu bhakta nam ishara radhani.
Oh, this is the process. First accept any high class of guru and serve him. Totally serve him. Anything love, gain, oh, at once you should give it to Gurudev. And he will give it to Krishna. And always Hari Katha. Uttam Bhagavat or Madhyam Bhagavat, you should hear Hari Katha. So this will make you very successful in your life. And then he told about Bali Maharaj Charitra and Baman Maharaj, Baman Dev. Those who will give some obstructions to his son, to his wife, his daughter, his husband, to anyone. Even Shukracharya, he told Bali Maharaj, that you should not give him everything. Give something. You should not give him. Oh, he is Vishnu. He will take your all things. Even Bali Maharaj told that what I have told, I will.
He promised I must fulfill my promise.
Promised, I will give him 3
steps
of worth. Then you will be what? Beggar. You should follow me, my order. Otherwise, sarvanash will be done. Oh, I want my sarvanash. But if he is Vishnu, this whole world is him. So I'm offering them. But he became some like obstacle in sankalpa.
Making vow to give charity.
And then Vamandev told that bring a
straw.
And he brought and he gave him the hole and his one eye became
blind.
So if anyone will give obstruction, making some problem in Krishna bhajan to wife, husband or anyone, he must be
blind, in one
blind
eye.
From one eye.
Day or any other day.
So please don't give obstacle to your wife, your husband, your daughter, sister. Always try to help them. Go, Prema. Now, tomorrow and day after tomorrow, 2 days. Oh, we want to explain sweet pastimes of Krishna. So tomorrow we will be here.
Hare Krishna. So the devotees who requested for initiation will take place tomorrow 8:30 a.m. in Gurudev's Bhajan Kuti. So
you should tell
I'm requesting all devotees, please come there 8:30 a.m. 401, room number 401. And for male devotees, you have to shave their hairs. And they must be recommended by the senior devotee. One more thing, tomorrow is Ekadasi. Please don't take any grain. Our management committee will arrange for your breakfast or how they arrange lunch, everything according to Ekadasi. And who has requested for detailed installation? They have to come about 6:30 or 6:45, 7:15, room number 431.
Midday,
cottage number 43, room number 431. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
They have to go to Bharsami Pais, headed by Sri Damodar Maharaj and assisted by Jiva Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
All the devotees who have received initiation and who are here by who have received by telephone, not in Gurudev's personal presence, they should all come tomorrow morning at the time of initiation and sit and hear directly from Srila Gurudev how to practice your Harinam and Diksha mantras.
Hare Krishna, Namaskar. We will have play after this. If Gurudev leaves, please stay here so that we can do our play without anything seeming like a chaotic condition. And regarding tomorrow's classes, Shamarani Didi will have a presentation of her paintings from 10 to 12:30 in the late morning class. And in the afternoon, she will have class for the kids. Hare Krishna.
Now there will be a short presentation about, as we have heard from Shiva Dharani Maharaj, how important it is to start your bhajan at young age. Shri Gurudev has one very wonderful school in Badger with young children. And we want to hear how that school is. What plan is there to help the children to receive a very good education? I'm giving the mic.
Take the mic.
Hare Krishna.
In New Badger, Srila Gurudev, about 8 years ago,